Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Well, it's my privilege this morning to commend to you the sacred scriptures. The Bible is the fully inspired Word of God. It is the infallible revelation of His will, the authoritative revealer of doctrine, and the Bible is the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. So what do you say then? Let us prayerfully and humbly read and study the Bible more, for in it we will find hope for every crisis. But more importantly, we will find our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us from sin. Will you please bow your heads and pray with me? Our Father in heaven, Lord, it's our privilege now in the midst of our sacred worship to open your word. As we do so, we invite your Holy Spirit to grant us wisdom and understanding, and to practically apply in our lives that which we see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So open your Bibles with me to the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, Revelation chapter 12, which we studied that chapter, by the way, last weekend. We covered the main highlights of that chapter. And for those of you who were not able to be at that meeting, we're going to do just a quick review and then touch base on a couple of points that we have not covered yet. So we're in Revelation chapter 12. The title of our study today is Conquering the Dragon. Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse number 1. Follow along with me, please. The Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with something." What is the woman clothed with? Yeah, with the sun, "and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up where? Caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then notice, and the text says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven." So another loud voice says in heaven, now is come something. What is come? Salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For, notice what happens connected to this voice crying out in heaven, for the accuser of our brethren is what? Cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen. And so here in Revelation chapter 12, we have what we call the great controversy theme. And the first thing that is seen is a woman that is standing on the moon, and she is clothed in something. What is she clothed in? Clothed in the sun. And we learned last weekend that a woman, in the context of Bible prophecy and visions, a woman is a symbol of something. What is it a symbol of? Of a church. And this woman here is described as being clothed with the sun. And in the book of Malachi, that's a symbol of the righteousness of who? The righteousness of Christ. And for those who fear God's name, the righteousness of Christ cover them, and Christ has healing in his wings to care for them and forgive them and to cleanse them and to prepare heaven for them. And so this woman here is a church, and whose church is it? It's God's church. This is the woman who gives birth to the Christ child, who is going to end up ruling how many of the nations of the world? All. And he was born, served, and showed us the love of the Father, and he was caught up where? To God's throne. And the devil is then pictured warring against God's church, warring against the Christ child. Was the devil victorious over the Christ child? Absolutely not. The devil then tried through different nations to persecute and to do away with God's church. Was the devil victorious there? Absolutely not. And so the woman is here in all of her glory and all of her purity and all of her power, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And then, of course, there's another woman in the book of Revelation, and that woman's in Revelation chapter 17. Let's just do a quick review on that. Just go over a couple of pages in your Bible. Revelation chapter 17. And we start with verse number 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, having the names of what? Blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And notice the description of this woman. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with what? The blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great wonder. And so one of the pictures in the book of Revelation is this picture of the two women. Some call it the tale of two women. In Revelation chapter 12, God's church standing in all of its glory and its purity, wrapped up in the righteousness of Christ. The other woman is in chapter 17, and is she a pure woman? Oh, she's the opposite of that. And she's riding this beast. And remember, a beast in Bible prophecy is representative of a nation, political power. And a woman is representative of the church. This is an impure woman, so this would be true church or false church? False church. So a false church is riding a political power and persecuting the saints of God. And the dragon is out to support this church, the church of Revelation 17, the false church, and attacks who? The true church, the woman who stands in the righteousness and purity of Christ. One of the thoughts I want to draw from this is that, number one, I want to be a part of God's true church. What about you? Yes. I want to be a part of the righteousness of Christ, who died on Calvary's cross to redeem me from sin. And not only to redeem me from sin, but to then give me his Spirit to give me strength to conquer sin. I want to be a part of God's true church. And I know you do too. Along with that, we should come to the conclusion that if we want to be part of God's true church, even though the devil is attacking us, the dragon is trying to conquer us, even though all that is taking place, it should make sense to us that if we're going to be a part of God's true church, we should live and look like God's true church. Does that make sense? Yeah. God's faithful people at the end of time, in a couple chapters later, they're described as their characteristics of being the 144,000, and they're described as being pure and holy and following Jesus wherever he goes. God's true church looks like the woman in chapter 12. God's true church does not look like the woman in Revelation chapter 17. Amen. Who is decked out and dressed to kill. God's true church never looks like that. God's true church is not decked out in the things of this world. God's true church is pure and holy and follows Jesus wherever he commands his church to go. It's not decked out in gold or pearls or costly array. God's true church stands in the natural beauty that God has given her and in the natural beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the devil is attacking this church, God's true church. The question is, does God's true church conquer the dragon? Absolutely. In the first six verses of Revelation chapter 12, it's just kind of this overall theme picture of how you have God's true church, the pure woman, and the dragon that tries to take out that church, tries to take out the Christ child, and tries to take out the followers of Christ. But they're not victorious. And then the next thing you see is before God wraps up the chapter of how the dragon's going to be angry with the remnant of this woman, before he does that, he gives two pictures of how the devil is going to be conquered and how the devil's already been conquered. The first picture is that there was war in heaven. There was war where? Yeah. The first picture is there's a war in a perfect place called heaven. And what was that war between? Between Christ and his angels and the devil and his angels. And so there was that intergalactic battle that took place between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And what happened to the devil and one third of the evil angels? The text says they were cast what? They were cast out of heaven and to this earth. You've heard me say this before. We get the picture pretty clearly that in that first battle, the devil lost. He didn't stand a chance. A loser from the what? From the beginning. And then did you notice that the next verse then talks about how the devil is cast out or cast down again? That's the second time that he loses. And let's read that. Verse number 10. We're in chapter 12. Going back to chapter 12. Verse number 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For," notice what's connected to that, "for the accuser of our brethren." And who's the accuser of our brethren? That is Satan. The previous verse talks about how the dragon, that old serpent, is the devil and Satan. And if you were to look at that word Satan, it's almost transliterated over, almost letter for letter. It has a definite article there. The name is Satan with a definite article, which is H-A. It's pronounced Ha-Satan. And Ha-Satan means accuser. That's when the devil is acting as Satan, what is he doing? He's accusing. And who does he accuse? He's accusing God's church, God's people. And so here it just simply says that now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is what? Cast down. So in that first battle in heaven, somewhere in eternity past, the devil lost that battle. He's cast down. And now here he is cast down again. So what's that talking about? Notice the casting down of the devil here is in context to something that has come. What has come? Salvation has come. And strength has come. God's kingdom. And the power of Christ. The text says, now a voice, a loud voice in him, now is come. And if you look at that phrase, the verbal phrase, is come, you're going to be glad to know this information. Are you ready for it? It's going to just like knock your socks off. You unpack that verbiage there, that word, is come. And it's an aorist indicative. Yes. Yeah, you see, it just kind of opened it up for you there, didn't it? Yeah. And the aorist indicative, what that is it's, this word's a verb, and its tense is aorist indicative. It means that it's talking about a particular event in the near past. So it's a past tense, not present tense, but it's a past tense talking about a particular event in a particular point in time. So this is what we notice. The devil is cast down here because of an event that has recently taken from John's perspective when he's seeing somewhere in the 90s, towards the end of the first century, this information, you know, God saying, John, somewhere in just the past, an event took place. To where salvation is what? Salvation is come. And in that context, what happens? The accuser of our brethren, the devil, is cast down. Praise God. Go with me to John chapter 12 and let's see what Jesus said about this. Keep your finger in Revelation chapter 12. Go back to John 12, and I praise God, our praise team today read one of the verses here that we want to lift up. Amen. And so John chapter 12, starting with verse number 30. Check it out. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Now, the context here, if you were to read the whole chapter, you would find out that this is taking place in Jerusalem. Jesus has come to Jerusalem. He's coming for the Passover feast. And in a few days, what is Jesus going to do? Now, he's going to give his life. He's going to be lifted up that all men who look might be what? Might be saved. So the context here, Jerusalem, Passover week. The Passover is just a few days away. Some Greeks are visiting Jerusalem. And Jesus asked for God to glorify him. And God spoke and glorified his son. And so verse 30 says, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. That is the sake of the people that were there and the Greeks who were visiting the temple during the Passover feast. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. And then notice what Jesus said. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be what? Cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So, when is the casting out of the devil a second time in book of Revelation? There's war in heaven. The devil is cast out. And then John hears another loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Now is come the kingdom. Now is come the power of Christ. And the accuser of the brethren is what? Cast down. Jesus predicted that ahead of time, a few days before he was crucified on the cross. And he says, now is the judgment come. And if you look at that phrase, judgment, it's talking about like standing before a court where the final decision is made, where final judgment is made. And Jesus is saying, just a few days, we believe that this is probably like on a Tuesday or Wednesday. He's going to die on Friday. And Jesus is saying, now the decision is made. And if I be lifted up, I'm going to what? Draw all men to me. And as I am lifted up, as this decision has been made that is going to bless the entire world, as this decision is made, the accuser is cast down. Why is he cast down? Well, a nail in his coffin is being hammered shut, so to speak. You remember the Bible gives us a picture in Job chapter 1. What was the devil able to do? Even though he was cast down to this earth, what was he still able to do after sin on this earth? Yeah, go to and fro between heaven and earth. Job chapter 1 talks about like a heavenly conclave meeting where the sons of God, representatives from the different worlds from around the universe, come before God and they discuss how things are going. And you remember in the book of Job, God asks Satan where he has come from and what was Satan's response? Yeah, I've been walking, what? To and fro on planet Earth. And God's response, I like God's response there, don't you? God's response in a nutshell is, well, if you've been walking to and fro on the Earth, I'm sure you've seen my man Job. You know, he loves me and hates you. You know, he follows me and he, King James language, he escheweth evil. Chews it up, pee, spits it up. No, that's not what the word means. It means he avoids. He spends time with me and avoids you. Have you considered? God is bragging on Job. And what does the devil do? He accuses God. He accuses Job. You read in Zechariah chapter 3, Zechariah had a vision, one of these heavenly conclave meetings where Joshua the high priest is standing before the Lord and he's got filthy garments on. And the devil's there. What is the devil doing? Pointing his finger and accusing. Look at the filthy garments. You can't forgive him. Look at him. And so, you and I must understand that there was a time when the devil was able to go back and forth throughout the universe, pointing fingers at those who were faithful to God, the accuser of the brethren. You know, the devil is not our friend. Amen. He acts like our friend. You know, he'll come walking up to us and sit down at the table, buy us something to drink, and get us to think in directions that are opposite of the will of God. He'll tempt us. And the Bible says we've all been tempted, and the Bible says we've all, what? Sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is what? That's what we deserve. And so you know what the devil does? He tempts us. He leads us in directions that are not according to God's will. And then when we sin and we stand before the Lord, he points at us and accuses us. In the neighborhoods where I grew up, well, let me just first of all say, you know, the Bible pictures the devil as a snake and a dragon. And in the neighborhoods where I grew up, people like that that got you in trouble, and then when you had to pay the piper, so to speak, they point their finger at you. You know what we call that in the neighborhood? We call that a rat and a narc. The devil was not only in the Bible, he's pictured here as a serpent and a dragon. Not only that, he's a rat and a narc. He's not our friend. And when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for you and for me, the decision is made, salvation is come, and the accuser of the brethren is what? Cast down. After that, he is bound to planet Earth along with his imps of darkness. He can no longer attend the heavenly conclave meetings to point his finger at anybody. And we should be thankful. So, Revelation 12, you got this great controversy thing, you know? And God shows John, the devil's going to attack the woman, God's church. But John, write it down. He lost in heaven. He lost at the cross. And he's going to lose again when he attacks the remnant way down at the end of time. And our cue and our clue and our example of how to conquer the dragon is found in the faithfulness of all the others who have gone before us, whom the devil has tempted and then accused. And there's two ways that they overcame. What did the text there say? Sorry, I'm still in John 12. I'm going back to Revelation 12 now. Our key text for the day. I'm going to read verses 10 and 11 again. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. How did they overcome the dragon? How did they overcome Satan and all his imps of darkness? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They looked to the cross and they praised God that God sent his only begotten Son to redeem us from sin. You know what happened on the cross? Christ paid our penalty at the cross. Shed his blood. So that anyone from that point, well, actually before that point, people who lived before the cross, By faith, they looked forward to the coming Messiah who would give his life. People at the time of the cross stood there, and the thief said, "Lord," the only one who called him Lord that day, "will you remember me?" And what did Jesus say? "I remember you, and I'm letting you know right now, I'm letting you know today that you're going to be with me in my kingdom." And God's followers afterward, which include you and I today, we look back by faith to what Christ did on the cross for you and for me. He took my place. What do I deserve? Death, plain and simple. What do you deserve? Why don't we die? Jesus died in our place. The question is this: have we personally applied the blood of Jesus in our lives? Because there are some folk who say, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. We're all saved at the cross. That's not what the text says. Jesus took our penalty. He died there, but his blood that he shed on the cross will do me absolutely no good if I do not what? Partake. Say, "Lord, I believe. Help me to believe more." What does it mean to overcome the dragon, to conquer the dragon and the devil and all his temptations? By the blood of the Lamb? What it means is that Jesus made the provision that day to give me victory when I come to the foot of the cross and accept it for the first time, and then ask him to lead and guide me how often? Day by day. And the text says that they overcame him by the word of their testimony. What's that? I want you to know that's not separated from the blood of the Lamb. What is the word of the testimony of those who have been faithful to Jesus and are accused by the devil? You know what the word of their testimony is? Jesus died for me. He shed his blood for me. He's my Savior. He's my elder brother. And with that kind of a foundation, then the person can look the devil straight in the eye and say, "Hit me with your best shot. My Savior and my Lord has already taken you out. You are cast down. Therefore, we by faith live for him." And through the word of our testimony, people in our family, our neighborhoods, and the workplace ought to know that we are Christians. And when the Lord provides opportunities for us to share Christ and him crucified, what is our task? To do it. To actively share and lift up Jesus. Jesus said, yeah, the devil's cast down. When I'm lifting up, I'm lifting up, and the devil's what? Oof, cast down. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so when you're tempted, how are we going to conquer the dragon? How are we going to conquer the devil? Lift Jesus up. When you want peace in your life, lift up Jesus. When you want to overcome sin, lift him up. When you want forgiveness and cleansing, lift up Jesus. When you need hope for the future, what are we going to do? Lift him up. And throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, you know what God's faithful people are going to do? The ones who have gotten victory over the dragon, you know what they're going to do? They're going to continue to lift Jesus up. That's our task as a church today. That's our task as individuals. With the help of God and the grace of life, let's be faithful to that task. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful that in this great controversy theme at this time in Earth's history, that there can be victory, that the devil can be defeated with whatever he throws at us. Oh, Lord, we understand that the only hope in this is through the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony concerning that. Oh, Father, with our heads bowed now, we recommit our lives to you, asking that you would fill us with your Spirit. We pray that you would ever keep Jesus before us, that you would live within us and empower us. Give us victory over anything and everything the devil throws at us, and give us victory as we share these grand truths with all those that we come in contact with, that many souls would be won for your kingdom. We ask in Jesus' worthy and precious name, and let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.